He's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Using Curry, way downtown, bang, bang!
You don't like NBA basketball!
Well, hello and welcome to another episode of the General Manager's Office. My name is Liam Ellison, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Jared Gunn. Jared, how are you tonight?
I'm going great, Liam, and fantasy playoffs around the corner, and I'm just slowly preparing myself at the moment.
So how does this look for you, Jared? Is it spreadsheets? Is, you know, all the data? Are you crunching numbers?
Look, I'm taking a little bit more of a relaxed approach into it this season. I've already got my spot sealed in the top four of our conferences.
Yep.
So I've got nothing too much to worry about at the moment. It's all about getting the right players into my team at the moment. It's actually a little bit hard because I don't know if I can drop anyone, and I'd like to have one guy that I can drop so I can make some big moves.
Too many options over at Team Gun.
That's right.
A little bit different for me. In our main league that we spend a lot of time talking about, I am not in the top four, and it doesn't look like I'll be breaking in, unfortunately. So it looks like it'll be daily fantasy for me going forward.
Look, I'm not going to lie, Liam. You've always been a guy in our fantasy leagues that's given me a lot of trouble, and it feels like I'm the Toronto Raptors and I've got no LeBron in my conference anymore.
Just been a bit of an off year for me. I'll be back next year much stronger. Don't you worry about that. Let's start off the show today with Jaren Jackson Jr. Jared, probably the biggest news of the last couple of days. He's out indefinitely. That dreaded indefinitely word, and don't we hate that this time of year? Has a deep bruised right quad, apparently. And look, from what it seems like with the Memphis Grizzlies at, I believe, 23-38, I think he could be done for the year.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he finishes up now, and I don't see the point of them playing him any longer. Memphis have got a pretty terrible record right now. I know that they'd ideally like to get some more time into Jaren Jackson Jr., some more development before the season ends.
Yeah, I mean, unless this happens to be a 2 to 3 week thing, then I think they might bring him back for the final month and get some more development into him. But at this stage where, you know, they're looking to essentially get a nice draft pick, they're obviously out of the playoff race. Why would you risk him?
Yeah, exactly. I just think that just wrap him up in cotton wool and get him ready for next season.
I like it. Cotton wool is the way to go. Let's have a look at some of the potential replacements that'll take some of that value that Jaren Jackson Jr. leaves behind. Who do you think most benefits from his absence?
The one I like the most is Joakim Noah. I think that this is leaving a lot of room for Joakim Noah to keep up the form that he's currently playing in. And he's been, you know, quite a revelation since he got signed by the Memphis Grizzlies, I should say. And It's really surprising just because he's been putting up numbers like he was back in the day.
So I really like Noah as an option, and he has been good. I mean, 22 points and 11 rebounds just a couple of games ago. But do you think he's a more attractive option than Jonas Valanciunas?
No, I think Jonas Valanciunas has locked himself up into that starting lineup. So if you own Valanciunas, you should be laughing right now because I think this is a great option to have running into the playoffs because he's playing.
I would be laughing, but unfortunately it won't matter because I won't be in the playoffs anyway. So,
Valanciunas, he's going to be in that lineup. I wouldn't worry about him. It's great. Great signs for Valanciunas. But if we're talking about who's going to replace Jaren Jackson Jr. in the lineup, I don't think Noah will enter into the starting lineup, but I think his minutes are going to stay consistently over that 20-minute mark, which is what you want with Joakim Noah.
Do you think he has the biggest improvement as such out of this injury?
I didn't think he would, but the results are showing. So he had 22 and 11 the other day with two blocks as well, and then 16 and 7 with two blocks again. So that's superb.
Yeah, I agree. I think he will be the backup center for this Memphis Grizzlies team. And I mean, that 22 points and 11 rebounds performance came in Valanciunas' absence. He was a DNP, due to a personal issue. So clearly going forward, we won't see Noah starting, we don't think. But even as the backup center, if he gets 20 to 25 minutes a night, which we saw 24 minutes against the Cavs, then I think absolutely he's a guy that we look at all of a sudden off the waiver wire.
Yeah, 100%. And the only thing that could be a bit of a negative is that he's got a bit of a minute share with Ivan Rabb, who I've spoken about a little bit before.
And he's the other big one, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. And he didn't play too bad the other day. He had 15 and 9 in the first game that Jackson was out, and then he had 8-3 yesterday, which was, you know, about average. Want more from a guy that does enter the starting lineup.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. 8 points, 3 rebounds, and 4 assists. Not exactly what we're looking for from Ivan Rabb going forward, but I think he will get that starting four spot for probably the rest of the season now. So absolutely, all of a sudden, he's a guy we look at off the waiver wire. And he's a very strong add there now, I think, especially in deeper leagues, you know, 12-team leagues and above. I think Ivan Rabb is a guy you should be going and picking up. But I'd be surprised if we saw any more than, you know, 12.5 points and 7 boards. That'd be a really good output for Rab.
What he's looking like to me at the moment is that he's going to be a really solid waiver wire guy.
Mm.
Could be a really good streaming option for a couple of days while you're still trying to figure out who you think could, you know, be that glue guy on your team.
Perfect for this time of year, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So this is one of the positives around this time of the year, is that when players do get injured or they get ruled out, some unlikely candidates come up and they play some really good basketball. I don't know if I've said it on the podcast before, but that happened with Zubac a couple of years ago with me when he was at the Lakers.
Yeah.
He came in and he played a really solid block of games in the last 2 to 3 weeks of that season, and he won me a playoff series. So this could be something that happens with Rab if he does get consistent minutes, or Joakim.
So as these fantasy playoffs start, I think it's really important now that we do look at these guys. I mean, when you need a few points here and there to just get you over the line in that semi-final or whatever, I think Ivan Rab is a perfect guy. Put him on your watch list. If he has a back-to-back, he's the sort of guy you can pick up for some quick points when you need, you know, that boost in your matchup. And the other guy I think we should mention before we move on, Jared, I mean, we've spoken about Noah Valanciunas and Rab, and they all, you know, gain value out of this injury, but the last guy is Bruno Caboclo, and he started his first game the other day versus the Clippers when, of course, Valanciunas was out with the personal issue. And then also came off the bench in the second game against the Cavs, but hasn't done too much yet for my liking, and I'm not huge on him going forward unless you're in deeper leagues and maybe as a streaming option down the road.
Yeah, and it doesn't look like he's going to be getting minutes that Rab and Noah are getting at the moment. He only had 19 minutes against the... he had 19 minutes against the Cavs. Not too bad. And 11 against the Clippers when he did start. So it's nothing too shabby.
Yeah, I mean, 23-year-old, 6'9", small forward out of Brazil. I think he's got interesting upside. And maybe if he, you know, works his way into the season, he might become a DFS guy, perhaps a streaming guy. But really nothing more than a name to keep an eye on, I think. All right, let's talk about a big line the other day. Kevin Love. Now, he's finally rewarded the patient owners, Jared, that held on to him or picked him up through this injury that he's had. And he's finally had the sort of games that we were hoping for all the way back in, you know, September, October when we drafted him and we wanted Minnesota Kevin Love back. And what has he done? He's gone and put up 32 points, 12 rebounds, and 6 of 9 from beyond the arc.
Can you imagine if he was playing all season, how much of a... you know, really valuable commodity he would have been in these leagues.
Absolutely. And hopefully he can be for the rest of the season now.
Yeah, it's actually, he's come back at the perfect time because there will be owners that would have had him on the IR for most of the season. Mm. And they would have had him there waiting all season long. And now he's come back. It's just perfect for the playoffs, I reckon. If he's playing like this, it's going to be fantastic. His minutes are increasing a little bit every night from what I can see on the game logs. And
yeah,
I'm expecting this form to continue. I don't see any reason why it would drop.
Well, we hope that there won't be any more rest games for Kevin Love going forward. When he first came back, there was a few, you know, missing back-to-backs and the like. But we hope now that, you know, he'll be completely unrestricted and we can see, you know, that 20-12 Kevin Love, maybe even 22-12, really valuable fantasy commodity, as you just said. And hopefully, you know, we don't have a another injury to Love, because that is the big worry. I mean, if he stays out on the floor for the Cavs, all of a sudden he's probably a top 30 guy, probably. But there is a chance that, you know, he does get injured again and then he gets shut down. Who knows? All right, let's talk about Otto Porter Jr. now. He had a bit of an injury scare against the Boston Celtics, left the game in the win over the Celtics, actually, with a strained lower left leg. I mean, he scored 0 points in that game in 14 minutes. Wasn't panning out the way owners were hoping, and it's good news, luckily, for owners of Otto Porter Jr. And it could have been a lot worse, because now he's listed as questionable for Monday's game against Milwaukee. Now, the old questionable tag can be a little bit frustrating at times, because you expect him to be back the next game, and it often can turn into 2 or 3 or 4 games. But still, nonetheless, not a 2 to 3 week injury or anything like that for Porter.
Yeah, that's good news for owners. Yeah, he was having a surprisingly very quiet game against the Boston Celtics, because he's been really solid to start off his tenure at this new ball club.
He definitely has. I mean, been averaging, I think, over 20 points a game for the Bulls, which is everything we could have hoped for.
Yeah, he had that huge 37-point game against Memphis a couple of weeks ago, which was huge. And he's logging up big minutes, so they're giving him plenty of opportunity to play good basketball. And What I've really liked is that he's been making multiple threes every single game that he's been there, except that game that he did get injured. But he's been shooting the three ball really, really well.
You're just under 46% on the month of February for Otto Porter Jr. So right back, you know, to where we wanted it to be, 44% obviously in his breakout year last year with the Wizards. We can get back that really high clip from the three-point land. All of a sudden, Porter Jr., he's, you know, his value comes up again. But this is the conversation we've been having, it seems like, all season.
Do you think it's exciting for Otto Porter maybe into the future if you look at, you know, his future career at the Chicago Bulls?
Yeah, potentially. He's a bit of an unknown for mine, Otto Porter Jr., if he can find a consistent role. Absolutely. The Bulls have got a nice young core there, don't they, with LaVine, Markkanen and Porter Jr. It's intriguing, if nothing else.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's actually very promising what he's shown so far. This is exactly what I thought that, you know, if he can do what he's doing right now around that 18. So he had that 137-point game, which is a bit of an outlier, I should say. But
yeah,
all the other games were at that 17 and 18-point mark. If he can stay around that mark and get around that 6 or 7 rebounds per game, I think he's a really good second option to Zach LaVine.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. I think going forward, Markkanen should definitely surpass him as the second offensive option. You know what? He probably already is the second offensive option.
But that's still good. Even if he's the third option and getting that many points, that's actually good. If they've got three guys averaging over 16 points per game, that's what you want from your three stars.
And I think on any good team, if Otto Porter Jr. is your third scoring option, that's pretty good. But if he's your second scoring option, I'm not sure he's a go-to guy, even though he obviously is a good three-point shooter. More of a spot-up guy, would you say?
Yeah, I agree. I think for fantasy, he's fantastic, though.
Definitely.
This is solid. This is a guy that, you know, you probably can get him around the fourth and fifth round of your drafts, and then he can stick in that lineup and just play fantastic basketball.
Yeah.
But with the Bulls, we all know that it's not about the offense. It's about the defense.
The Chicago Bulls defense. Yeah. I mean, got rid of Jabari Parker for that reason, we think. So, yeah, it's a little bit of a struggle town there on the defensive end of things. But going forward, I think next year Porter Jr. will be a strong draft option if he stays with a similar role on this Bulls team. Let's talk about another injury over in the Western Conference this time. Of course, the MVP favourite, James Harden, missed the game against the Golden State Warriors with a neck strain and flu-like symptoms. So a little bit worrisome for Harden owners. Obviously, they've been spoilt over the last couple of months with his ridiculous numbers he's been putting up. So probably nothing to see here, though. He's considered questionable for Monday.
Yeah, there was no beard, no problems for the Houston Rockets the other day. They had a big win against the Golden State Warriors.
2 from 2 in Oracle Arena this year.
Yeah, they're still my pick to be the ones that could pip the Warriors come the playoff time.
It's probably no one else. I mean, we don't trust the Lakers, do we?
I hope they do it this time, Liam. Yeah. I really hope they do it. I don't want to see Golden State there again.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to jump on the bandwagon, but I can't even sort of fancy, you know, this fanciful talk of beating the 5 All-Stars.
Yeah, it's fair enough. Look, it's they're so loaded at Golden State. It's just,
yeah,
it's laughable. You forget about them for 2 seconds, then they come out, have a really good game, and you're like, yeah, I don't think anyone's going to get through them. But
it's 2 injuries for me. 2 injuries to Golden State, and they're touchable.
Yeah, but there's a guy called Kenneth Faried, and if he plays really good basketball like this, he could be a guy that could really affect it.
Well, he entered the starting lineup in Harden's absence, which to me was a bit surprising because, you know, a shooting guard or a point guard with Harden going out, and they play Capella and Faried next to each other instead of bringing in, you know, one of their guards. So interesting. And he did well. I mean, 20 points and 10 rebounds for Faried.
I think it's good signs for Faried owners because he's still playing a really good role off the bench. So he's going to put up, you know, a few rebounds, a decent amount of points. But if he does come into the starting lineup, if there is an injury, he's really capable of putting up the same numbers as he was when Capella was out.
Yeah, really encouraging for Faried owners that now they sort of can see from, you know, the trust that's been placed in him, that he's not just going to fade away now Capella's back. He's going to continue to be a fantasy option for the rest of the season.
Exactly. And, like, you know, he had his first game off the bench against the Lakers, and he had 13-6, but he was really efficient from the field. So he was 5 of 6 from the field, and he also had a block, a steal, and assist. So he still had a really solid number for points leagues. And in categories leagues, that's not too bad either.
Did you see Draymond Green fall into the bench and Steve Kerr didn't notice for about 30 seconds? He suffered that injury, which turned out to be an ankle injury as well. So that's something's fantasy relevance-wise, but it was made for a nice little clip, didn't it?
It did. It was pretty funny, Draymond Green doing that.
Yeah, so he's also probable for Monday's game. So nothing too serious out of that injury. And some other news that's of interest to us. He signed with Clutch the other day, Jared.
I saw that. Are we not sure that the Clutch Management Group are taking over the NBA right now.
Seems like it.
Are we going to call the NBA the KBA very soon?
Well, when's he going to ask for a trade to the Lakers? That's what I'm talking
about. You know what? I just can't imagine him and LeBron playing together. It'd be quite funny to see that.
Oh, he'd be pretty silly to leave the Golden State Warriors, of course, unless he wants to go command that max contract, which they may not be able to give him, but... Yeah.
Do you think he's a max contract player? Because I think Draymond Green is, you know, he's an elite player in the league. But can you give a guy that doesn't, you know, average a ton of points a max contract?
Yeah, he's kind of like, he's a glue guy, but he's more valuable than that. Selling him short to call him that. But I know what you mean. You can't give him a huge chunk of your cap and expect a challenge for a championship, can you? Yeah.
But I know we were having this chat the other day. It was that he's so multifaceted as a player at the same time. He can have a good night in the scoring, but at the same time, he's putting up, I think it was a seven assists per night for a power forward. That's a damn good night. That's elite. He'd be the best passing power forward in the league right now.
Yeah, unless you want to talk about guys like LeBron, if you count him as a power forward. Maybe, so he's very unique. We're talking about it in the same sense as LeBron in one facet of his game, clearly. Yeah. But still, it shows how versatile he is, doesn't it?
He is. He's always been that sort of player. And that's why I think Draymond Green does hold a lot of relevance in fantasy, is because he's able to do so many different things on the court. He'll get you boards, he'll get you steals, he'll get you blocks, he'll get you a couple of rebounds per game. That's why he's a great option.
He's copped a bit of flack this year for his play. I mean, clearly his shot hasn't been falling like it was in the past. I mean, that three-point shot all of a sudden for one or two seasons became a thing for the Golden State Warriors. And now that's come down to, I believe, the early 30s kind of numbers. But even if he's not scoring well, the defense he plays, and as you said, the ability to pass the ball, it's so, so valuable.
I think a lot of the reason why he probably has had a bit of dip in the shooting this year was that he didn't come off a very strong preseason, Draymond. So because of that, I think it probably affected a lot of the results that he did get earlier on with his shot. And
no
still,
Snapchats was there from Draymond this preseason?
No Snapchats.
Okay, good. Just checking.
I'm looking at the field goal. His field goals are around 49% for the month, so that's pretty good. But yeah, the three ball's been the one that hasn't really improved all season long. And yeah, he is capable. He had a big... I remember that big game 7 he had against the Cavs a couple of seasons ago. He was knocking down threes like nothing. So
yeah, that's the game we'll all remember, I think, for Draymond Green's value.
Yeah, exactly. That was probably the greatest game of NBA basketball. Of all time.
Yeah, definitely that shot from Kyrie.
That was the best one I'd ever seen.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that. Let's talk about Goran Dragic now. Also returned for the Miami Heat. Played 16 minutes off the bench in his first game back. Put up 4 points and 2 of 6 shooting. So nothing to see here in terms of how he performed in his first game back. But you'd have to think, give him a week or two and he'd be back to full strength, would you say?
Yeah, that's fair to say. I think it's still a little bit concerning that Justice Winslow's sort of cemented a spot at the one for the Miami Heat, and there's a possible minute share that's probably going to happen with him and Dragic. But at the same time, I just still beckon Dragic to come in at the most important time of the year and try and push the Miami Heat for a playoff spot. So if that does happen, I can expect Dragic to play some really big minutes towards the end of the season.
Yeah, nothing to worry about. I mean, owners that have held on to him and owners that have picked him up with a couple of weeks ago expecting the return. I think this is what you have to go through. This is the growing pains of a guy coming back from injury, isn't it?
Yeah, I wouldn't set your aspirations too high for Goran Dragic at the same time, though. I'd be expecting him to be just, not above average, but he can still be, a very handy player. But I don't think he's going to be anything like he was earlier in his career.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that. Hey, Marc Gasol, Jared, entered the starting lineup for the first time in a Raptors uniform and played 24 minutes with Serge Ibaka coming off the bench, and he also played 24 minutes. So, interesting. They had extremely similar stat lines. Gasol had 16 points. Ibaka had 14 points on 7 of 14 shooting. Gasol was 7 of 13 shooting, and they both had 5 boards. So, identical lines for those two.
I'll tell you what. I think this is going to be the best thing for both players and also the Toronto Raptors as well if this spot swap does happen permanently for the Toronto Raptors, just because I think for Marc Gasol, if he's starting that lineup, I think it's more of a chance that he can get around the season averages that he was achieving with the Memphis Grizzlies. So he had 16-5-5 against the Orlando Magic the other day, and that's what you want from Marc Gasol. If he's doing that for the Raptors right now, that's really good for your fantasy results.
Yeah,
and then Serge Ibaka. Here he had 14 points and 5 rebounds, and that's been thereabouts with the season averages. A few less rebounds than he normally does have per game. But at the same time, I just think that Ibaka probably would put up a few more points if he did start. But Gasol,
he's going to take a dip for sure.
Yeah, he'll take a bit of a dip. But the thing is with Gasol, Gasol was having a bigger dip when he was coming off that bench. So I think Gasol owners will be pretty happy that he slotted into the starting lineup.
It's fantastic news, and it's probably what we should have expected. I always thought it was going to be really unrealistic to see him playing, you know, 19 minutes a night. So this sort of 25 minutes is about where it should be, I'd say.
Yeah, it's promising that he has, you know, I think it was the most minutes he's played for the Raptors all season so far. Okay. So yeah, that is promising. And he also had the 13 field goal attempts, so he was taking more of that ball to the ring, which is a really good sign.
Yeah, absolutely. I think promising stuff for Gasol owners. You know, Ibaka owners are going to get a little bit of a dip, but once that Gasol trade happened, you would have expected that little dip from Ibaka. So you just have to ride the bumps out now. Nothing to get too carried away with, I'd say. Okay, it's time for something new that we haven't done on this podcast yet, Jared. We're going to do a Dynasty Rankings Top 10 in Trade Value. So I'm sure most of our listeners will be familiar with the Dynasty format, but that is, of course, the format of fantasy basketball where your team continues year on year. So clearly younger players hold a lot more value because you hold them into the long term. So Jared, I'm going to start off with you. So start off with number 10, if you can. Who have you got? Number 10, the highest trade value in Dynasty right now.
So my 10th most valuable player in Dynasty right now would be Luka Doncic. So rookie in this league, 19 years old. And to be frankly honest, he could have been a bit higher, but I just want to see a little bit more from Luka Doncic before I make that really big call. But he's had 20.7 points as a rookie this year, and that's borderline elite in this league for a rookie. That's amazing. Mm. We don't see many rookies averaging 20 points per game.
No.
But look, I think his biggest upside as a player is that he's that priority option for the Mavericks organization for the next 15 years.
Well, he's 19, Jared. It actually surprises me that you have him as low as 10, because at that age he could have, you know, 13 years playing high-level basketball ahead of him.
I agree. Look, I'm not doubting Luka Doncic at all, and this is no knock at him as a player as all. I just want to see more out of these younger players before I make that really big call of, you know, making him more of a priority option than the nine guys ahead of me in this list.
Okay, that's probably fair enough. I mean, although he has averaged, you know, the 21 points, 7 rebounds and 5 assists, you probably want to see him get to that, you know, 25, 7 and 7 before you have him higher in your top 10. Is that kind of fair to say?
That's fair to say. So, Liam, we'll go to your number 10.
My number 10 is one of the very best players in the NBA right now. I've got Kevin Durant as the number 10 most valuable player in the Dynasty format. I think, you know, he is a guy who's going to give you 28, you know, 7 rebounds, 5 or 6 assists, shoot the ball at a really high percentage. I mean, 51% for a guy who shoots a lot of jumpers. It's hugely impressive, and he always shoots around close to 40%. You know, close to 90% from the free throw line. Extremely efficient player, a huge numbers guy, one of the most valuable guys in fantasy at the moment. But the only reason I've got him at number 10, Jarrett, is he's 30 years old. And I think he's probably got 4 to 5 years max left at this level, maybe less.
Interesting. I differ, but we'll get to that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'd be interested to see where you have KD on this list, because I'd love to know, you know, for instance, how many years you think he has left at this value. So I'm sure we'll see him a lot higher on your list. Who's your number 9?
So my number 9 is Karl-Anthony Towns, Liam.
Oh.
So
my boy.
Your boy, Kat.
A lot lower than my list, yes. Tell you that much, but I'm biased.
Look, Kat's another guy that could have been much higher, but there's just a few little knocks on him that I have as a player, and it's that he's stagnated a bit in the last two seasons as a player. You could almost argue that his rookie year was his best year in the NBA. Is that
not
fair to say?
No, definitely not. His second year.
I should say his second year. I was looking at the wrong stats. So his second year was his best year in the league, and then the last 2 years have been a little bit, not bad, but they've dropped off a tad. And just because of that, I wouldn't have him as high as some of the other players. I think Kat, you know, he's already an elite rebounder in this league. He's gotten those blocks back up to about 1.8 this year, which is great.
Yeah, but it's been slowly rising, yeah.
For me, for him to be in the top 5 players in, you know, Dynasty Fantasy, I think he needs to increase his points per game by at least 4 or 5.
Yeah, to, you think, 27, 28.
About 27, 28.
He needs to be the number one option on a team. And look, for mine, that third season with the T-Wolves, when he dropped to 21 points per game, for me, that's the Butler effect. I think he became the number one, you know, point of offense on that team. And you know, in Kat's fourth season now, he's averaging 23 points a game. And I think that's slowly coming up. You know, it was a very tough start to the year for Towns, getting questioned like crazy. And, you know, somewhat rightfully so for some of the play we saw. You know, I think you might remember early against the Raptors in the year when he had that air ball and just asked to be taken out of the game. And you know, that's when things are looking pretty hard for Towns. I think by the end of the year, he'll be averaging about 24. And then I think it's only up from there, in my opinion.
Yeah, next year is a really big indicator for me where Cat's going to go as a player, I think.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like, I wouldn't expect he's going to drop off and do anything terrible. But I think, yeah, there's a lot of room to improve as a player. And he can be... I feel like Cat doesn't get talked enough as a player in this league. He probably deserves a bit more talk, but...
Well, he gets talked about, but it's often...
negative.
Yes, exactly.
But yeah, he's a fantastic player, and I hope he does improve.
Yeah, okay. We'll talk about Cat a little bit later as well. We'll save some of that for when I bring him up, and it will be a little bit higher just to give that away. My number nine, Jared, is Kawhi Leonard of the Toronto Raptors. Now, again, a very similar player to Kevin Durant, and it doesn't give quite the output that Durant does right now, but... For me, the reason why I've got him ahead of Durant is he's 27. I think he's probably got around 5 or 6 years left at this elite level. And I expect him, if he stays with the Raptors, or maybe he goes to a team like the Clippers where he's still the focal point, he's going to put up, you know, 26, 27 points a game, put up really high numbers. Again, good percentages, strong rebounding guy. He's had a career year in rebounds this year at 7.6. So for me, I like Kawhi. I think he can put up these sort of numbers for at least the next 5 years. And at 27 years of age, that's why he's ahead of KD.
Yeah, I definitely think that his age is right on his side in Dynasty. Mm. My thing with Kawhi is he's not on my list, I'll say that.
He's
now.
Not in your
he's
top
not
10.
On my list. And like, okay. I love Kawhi. Come to the Clippers, Kawhi. I want you there. But
he can't come now. You've just, you know, shaded him.
my thing with Kawhi is that, I don't know, is he a little bit of an inconsistent scorer?
Look, I mean, I'm just looking at his overall numbers. Yeah. 27 a game. Do you think he's a bit sporadic?
Maybe, and I think like he's missed a lot of games this season. I don't know if that's got to do with... From what I've seen this season, there's been a lot of back-to-backs that he hasn't been there. Is that a little bit scary?
Yeah, it is something to worry about, and that's probably why I've only got a bit 9 for mine. I rate him quite highly. He could have been higher on my list. It scared me a little bit, but I think it's something that probably will go away down the track. I've actually lost track. Have we done your number 9 yet, Jared? We have too.
Yes.
So it's now your number 8 pick, Jared. Who's number 8 for you?
Number 8 is Mr. Underrated, Damian Lillard.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, so what I like about Damian Lillard, he's 28 years old right now.
Yep.
And I think it's underrated that, is he on your list?
He's not on my list.
Not on your list. So he always gets shaded, Damian Lillard.
Yeah.
His whole career he's been shaded. Team USA, he's finally getting recognised as a consistent all-star, which is great. But
yeah,
I think he still has a minimum of 6 to 8 years in this league as a player.
I think so. How many years do you think he'll be playing at this top tier level?
I think he can keep doing it. I don't see it stopping...
For 6 to 8 years.
Well, maybe... Look, I'm not saying that it's going to happen all the way through that period, but I think for at least 5 years, definitely. And what he's been doing, he's just been consistently, you know, averaging over 25 points over the last 4 years. So he's been really good from the get-go, Damian Lillard, ever since he got drafted in this league.
Mm.
And then over 6 assists his whole career as well. So he puts up really standard, consistent numbers. That's what I like about Damian Lillard. It's the first time I've had him in my team this season in our points league. And he's just been nothing but consistent. And I think he can be a rock in your team that you should be looking for in Dynasty.
Look, I really like Damian Lillard. I think he is a rock-solid option, at least for the next 4 to 5 years. I agree on that. But for me, he's probably just outside my top 10. He might have even been my number 11 or 12 pick. I mean, LeBron James was thereabouts, but we know he's 33. So he's probably only got 3 or 4 years left. For me, I like Kawhi and KD just that little bit better. But I do see your point, for sure. My number 8 pick, Jared, was... Ben Simmons out of the Philadelphia 76ers, 22 years of age, so another youngster. We love that in the Dynasty format, and I think has real potential to average a triple-double down the road. 17 points, 9 rebounds, and 8 assists per game this year, shooting the ball at 57%, which is great. The only issue here is, of course, he doesn't shoot the 3, so that's one thing we can't get out of Simmons. But other than that, seriously good option going forward.
Yeah, agreed. Can I just say he's my number 7 right now?
Okay.
Yeah, so Ben Simmons is my number 7, so we'll have a joint conversation on this one.
Yep.
And my biggest thing with Ben Simmons is, yes, he's going to average really big numbers in all 3 major stat categories, and also the fact that he's going to have a high field goal for the most of his career, I'd say, just because he isn't the greatest outside shooter, I think it really helps in terms of fantasy with that field goal. I know that the 3-point percentage is probably never going to be elite, and that makes sense 100%. You hope as a player he can get that free throw up a bit higher.
Definitely. That's probably the one place we really look for that improvement. If he starts shooting the 3-ball, it'll be hard to see him shooting 35%.
Do you see like Ben Simmons almost? He puts up numbers that like a... It's very similar to what like a Jokic puts up. It's
yes.
Like, you know, big numbers in these 3 stat categories, but It's sort of like a center when you look at that three-point percentage and, that, and those free throws as well. So
a center who can give you 8 assists a game. I think that's why it's so valuable.
That's almost the way that I look at it, that he's a center that's a really good playmaker. So, yeah, there's some, you know, big deficiencies in a way, but I think he really makes up for it in every other category.
I think we see what happens with that Philadelphia roster. If the so-called Big Four stays together, then it might be hard for him to have a real increase in his output. But potentially, Simmons is a guy that we can see average, you know, 22, 10, and 10 in the not-too-distant future. I think he can be the next guy to average a triple-double in this league.
Yeah, he's very close to it at the moment.
Yeah. All right, so your number seven is Ben Simmons, is that correct?
My number seven was Ben Simmons.
All right, so now it's time for my number seven, and it is Luka Doncic, who we spoke about earlier on your team. So he was a bit higher on this list for me, and look, I really like Luka. I think he is a guy that as soon as next season could average 25, 7, and 7 on decent percentages. I mean, this season, 43% from the field and 35% from three. I think if that slowly improves to, you know, 45 and 39 from three, all of a sudden we're looking at a seriously valuable guy. And Jared, he's only 19 years of old.
I know, it's amazing. I love Luka Doncic, and yeah, I feel bad for not having him higher up on my
you
list.
You should feel bad. He'd be very offended by this, Jared. Luka would not be happy at all.
I was so high on Luka. I wish I was hoping the Clippers made a trade up to the draft so we could draft him. Would have loved him there.
I think you might have been asking a bit much there. They're not going to give him up.
No, of course not. Of course not. But I think the biggest thing with Doncic is, and why you probably have him high this high, is that he's improved every single month this year.
Yeah.
Every month that's gone by, his points have gone up, and his rebounds and assists have gone up as well.
Mm.
So that's promising that he's going to make that big leap next season.
Yeah, I'm big on Luka Doncic going forward. We'll be very high on my draft boards going into next season. So who is your number six pick in the top 10 trade value for Dynasty, Jared?
I feel like I could regret saying this, but Nikola Jokic was my number six.
Number six, six.
Look, we've got a really big top five here coming up.
Yeah.
But man, Nikola Jokic is amazing. I'm just looking at these season-by-season stats, and like what he does is really... I don't even know how he does it. So 20.4 points this year with 11 rebounds and just under 8 assists for a center.
Yeah, it's unreal, isn't it? I mean, very similar to Ben Simmons in that respect. And also shoots the ball at 50% and can give you the three ball. I mean, it's interesting. He's dropped to 30% from three this year. But last year he shot the ball at 40%, so a huge drop off in that respect.
Yeah, and he was, you know, he had slightly a higher shot attempts last year as well. I just think that the biggest thing with Jokic is that I think there's no ceiling at the moment. I think this could go up.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, let's move on now to my number six. I've got Joel Embiid at number six, Jared. And I suspect you might have him higher being an owner in one of our leagues. But I'm a little bit spooked about those injury worries. I mean, he has averaged 27 points and 13.5 rebounds per game this season. Really incredible stuff. And I know he's been pretty healthy the last 2 years, but I just can't forget how much of a struggle it was to get this man on the floor the first 3 years of his career.
Yeah, you could argue still that it's a little bit of a worry for Joel. And there's always like lots of reports coming out that his body's not great at the moment, but he's still playing through it. So that's really important that he's still playing through it. And not only that, he's playing really good basketball.
Yeah.
My thing with Joel, so I'm going to just say right now, he's my number five as
okay.
well. So
right
I was going to get into him right after this anyway, so we can have a joint conversation. But Joel is doing, he's absolutely elite scoring, elite with his rebounding, elite with his blocking. So that's really fantastic. And the best thing about that is the only thing that I think that could bring that down is if he does get injured.
Yeah.
What I would like to see is that three-point percentage to increase a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think the biggest thing for him could be shooting less three-point attempts.
It doesn't get talked about too much for Embiid. He shoots 29% from three. It's really quite terrible.
Yeah, it is. It is pretty shocking. And I don't know why they persist with it. Is there,
yeah.
They must have a play set for him to run the...
I suppose they're trying to make, you know, this guy improve into a 35% three-point shooter, which, mind you, he was in his first season. And it's important to have your big stretch the floor these days. We know that.
I agree. Maybe they should wait for him to shoot 35% before they increase the field goal attempts.
Well, how's he going to get it there if he's not shooting him?
I agree. But, like, he needs to see that ball go in. He's only making one per game.
Yeah, it's not ideal. I think just... for the next couple of years, they're just going to keep rolling with it, and hopefully we see that improvement. And fantasy owners would love to see that, clearly.
Yeah, he definitely should be top five, in my opinion, if he is healthy, though.
For sure. Absolutely. If he stays healthy, he's way higher on my list, I'll tell you that right now. But I think, I just worry that when we get to 29 years of age with Embiid, and he's 24 right now, where are we going to be is he going to be playing 82 games a season? I'm not sure. And if he is, then I've made a mistake here, but I just can't bet on it. That's my issue.
Yeah, I think Joel is always going to miss around 5 to 10 games per year.
Mm.
And yeah, that's slightly concerning. As long as he's not missing those games at the most important time of the season. And that's a really big case to make as well, because they might be resting Embiid before playoffs.
Yes.
So that is concerning, but you just got to bank him in on the value that he does provide at the moment.
I think if you're in a dynasty format and you're contending within the next 5 years, there's absolutely, it's almost definite that one of those 5 years, if you're contending to win the championship in your league, one of those years he's going to be out in the finals time. It's just going to happen, I feel, unless all of a sudden he becomes Mr. Iron Man and plays 82 games a season. I don't think that's happening. So it's going to happen down the line. And you have to take that into account when it comes to dynasty.
Yeah, and look, injuries happens to all players. We're not just singling out Joel Embiid here. I know he has a lot of he's had a lot of injury problems in his career, but this applies for any player, in my opinion.
Yep. All right, so he's your number five as well. Is that correct, Jared? Yep. So let's move on now to my number five, and that is none other than James Harden. Now, clearly an absolute beast this year, putting up 36.5 points per game. That is phenomenal. I mean, this guy's only another 2 week stretch away from averaging close to 40 points per game. If he goes on another hot streak, who knows what that average could look like. This is crazy stuff. I mean, shooting it at a decent clip, giving you 7.5 assists and 7 rebounds a game to go along with it. And mind you, 2.1 steals per game this season. Incredible stuff. I don't think we're going to see this sort of James Harden every year, but I think we can still count on 30-plus for the next at least three years.
Yeah, I agree with that. You don't see many players increase their points average by 6 points, let alone it being 30 points to 36 points per game.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
And that's why you just bank him in being a top-five player, because this guy's going to score you the ball, but he just does it with so many different things, whether it's him, you know, passing the ball with his assist count and getting 7.7 rebounds. And he had 8.8. I'm looking at the wrong number, but he's averaging around 7 rebounds this season.
Mm.
That's fantastic. And it's just, you just got to bank him in.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, 29 years of age, and again, age comes into it when we're talking about dynasty, but I think we can still get 3 to 4 really strong years out of Harden. And if you're contending, if you're looking to build a contender in dynasty, he's going to be in the top 3 to 4 players, I'd say, for a fairly long time. So that's why he's still at number 5 for me. I think he's just so valuable, even if it is in only 4 to 5 years.
Yeah, I think right now you could almost say that he is the most valuable player, along with maybe a couple others.
Like, yeah.
He's an amazing player. And we'll just go straight into it. That was my next number, so he was my number 4.
Very similar now. I wonder if there's going to be a bit of deviance near the top.
There's one little one, so we'll see what that
little
is.
Little curveball, wow.
Little curveball, yes.
Oh, all right, so your number 5 is James Harden. So, again, I'm going to lead us off with my number 4. And we spoke about this guy earlier. He is a little bit of a favorite for mine. Of course, Carl Anthony Towns. He's my number 4 in dynasty. And you know what? You make a good point, Jared, earlier, that he has dropped off a little bit the last 2 years. Only 23 points and 12 rebounds per game. But I believe at some point in his career, he's going to average 27 and 12. He's gone on stretches like that. And he is 23 years of age. Locked into the Supermax at the Timberwolves, so he's going to be the guy there for at least the next 4 to 6 years, you'd say. And that's what we want. When we have these superstars locked into situations where they're required to score the ball at high volume, I think next season we'll probably see 25 points out of him, and then we'll see what sort of improvement we can go from there. And the other thing that I think sort of sets him apart, Carl Anthony Towns, he gives you the 3 assists. That sort of ticks that box. You want that from your best centers. And he gives you 2 blocks a game, 1.8 this season, solid. But he shoots 39% from 3, and last year, 42% from 3. So going forward, if we get 40% from beyond the arc from Towns, that's a whole new facet to his game.
Yeah, that guy's very underrated, how well he does shoot the 3 ball. And
it really does.
Yeah, and look, is it fair to say that, look, it doesn't look like, you know, the Minnesota Timberwolves are going to attract a massive free agent to play alongside
Carl Anthony Towns.
So I think the biggest thing with him is that he's going to be that number one guy in Minnesota. So they're going to be playing the ball straight through him.
And again, age 23. I mean, that's, again, why he's at number 4. Clearly, I mean, in some formats of fantasy, he'd be still, you know, 7 or 8, I'd say, in terms of the rankings this season. But number 4 for that age and the fact that he's sort of locked in to be the guy going forward. And that's why I've got him at number 4. Who's yours, Jared?
It's actually number 3 now for me, Liam. And my number 3, Liam, is, I don't think you're going to agree with this one, but it's Kevin Durant, Liam.
Number 3?
Yes, Kevin Durant.
Wow.
I'll tell you why. I think Kevin Durant's going to be in this league for at least another 7 to 8 years. That's my case why.
I agree with that.
I think that he's got a very durable body type in this league, and I think that's on his side. But my reason for putting him here is that, yes, he's had a fantastic career all the way through, and I think the thing with KD is that he hasn't dropped off as a player since he went to Golden State, but his role has been less reliable as it was at OKC. He doesn't have to be the guy to put up, you know, 35 every single night of the game.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm going to redo that one. He doesn't have to be that guy to put up, you know, consistent points over 30 every single night.
Mm.
The thing that I'm sort of contending here is that I'm expecting him to leave at the end of the season. And if he does go to a franchise like the New York Knicks, where they need him to be that guy, he's going to see his stock rise right up.
I think so. I think if he goes to the Knicks, we'll probably see him average, you know, close to 30 points a game. But I don't think it's going to be a massive lift. I mean, he's already averaging, just under 28 points per game, 6 assists, 7 rebounds. How much more can we see out of Kevin Durant? I mean, his best ever year, of course, was 32 points per game with OKC. Maybe we see something like that. But again, the number one reason why I wouldn't have him at three is he's 30 years old.
I just think that I actually think that he can be sort of like the LeBron mold and still average these numbers when he's older.
Yeah.
I think when he gets to 35 and 36, I still think that he's able to keep these consistent scoring numbers up. And if he can keep the scoring numbers up, I don't see that there's any reason why.
Are you that confident?
I am that confident. Okay. Kevin Durant's probably, you know, he'd definitely be in the top 3 most efficient players of all time.
Mm.
You know, you could argue that his shot's going to get better as he gets older.
Yeah, possibly. Look, you make a very compelling point there. For mine, the age, you know, worries me off a little bit. I think, you know, at best 5 to 6 years is probably what we get out of him at this elite level. So for mine, I'd prefer to take a guy who's, you know, 5, 6, 7 years younger, and it's guaranteed you'll get 10 years out of them. That's why I'd probably have him.
Would you rather have James Harden than Kevin Durant?
Yes.
Yep.
Definitely.
Just because he's a year younger?
It's true, but I think James Harden is more valuable going forward. I mean, he's a higher usage guy.
It's fair enough. Yeah.
Yeah. But look, it is very close, no doubt. So that's your number three, is it? So moving up to my number three. And again, a guy that I was surprised you had at number six, and that is Nikola Jokic. Now, I've been extremely impressed with how he's gone so far this year. And we spoke about before, 20-10, and gives you just under 8 assists per game. And he's similar to Kat, and then he's going to be at that franchise, the focal point, and he's 24 years of age.
Yeah, I can't disagree with anything you're saying. I think Jokic, if we did this again, I don't know, in 2 months' time, he probably would be a little bit higher on my list. But it's just his ability to improve every season is what I like. And he showed it this season, but it's been so monumental. And I think that it could be monumental again next season.
The only knock on him is his scoring ability. I mean, you know, he scores just under 20 points a game, or sorry, 20.4 points per game. So still really solid stuff, shooting the ball at 50%. But, you know, once we get to this top echelon of players, we would like to see 25 plus, don't we?
Yeah, I agree. I think to be a top 5 fantasy player, you need to be scoring that ball at a relatively high rate. But at the same time, if you're putting up numbers close to a triple-double, you really are making up for that.
Yeah, and I think at some point we'll see Jokic average 23, 24 a game. That's probably where he'll top out for me offensively.
It's just because Denver's got so many guards in that lineup that score the ball as well, and they've got so many consistent scorers. So you could argue that there's not a need for him to score 20 points a night at the moment.
Yep.
It could be a time where some of these guards leave, go to different teams, and then we're going to see the ball be used more by him.
Potentially. Look, I completely agree. We've spoken on this podcast before about just how many, you know, scoring guards they've got absolutely loaded at that position. So won't be required to score the ball at high volume anytime soon, I don't think. So I think it's your number two pick now, Jared. We're getting down to the pointy end. And I have to think, surely we'd be in agreement to this last two.
Yeah, I'm going to just say that these last two picks, I couldn't even pick a number one or two. It's very, very even.
I could.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. Right, we'll just say that my number two is Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Wow.
I got it right.
Number two. Yeah, you got the pronunciation right.
Yes.
Okay.
So Giannis, mate, this guy is unreal. Unreal, and he puts up these numbers that are, again, unhuman-like, and, you know, 12.7 rebounds, 6 assists, 27.2 points. This guy can play any position on the floor.
Mm.
Absolutely incredible, and I don't even know what you can't say about Giannis. I don't even have a knock on him as a player. Maybe his three-point shot, but you think that would improve as his career goes on.
Well, the knock is that you've put him at number two. I'm surprised that he hasn't taken the number one spot, because I'll reveal it right now, he is my number one, Giannis.
Yeah.
So what's your I mean, I have Anthony Davis at number two, and I look, big fan of AD, but there's a number of things here I'm worried about, you know, namely being that he's probably going to go to the Los Angeles Lakers. I mean, he's only 1 year older than Giannis, which is something I was actually a little surprised on when I had a look at it, because you do kind of think of AD of, you know, being in the league a lot longer than Giannis, but, you know, he came to the league young, didn't he, AD? So probably overlooked that one. But it just, I think if he goes and plays with LeBron, there's going to be a little bit of a drop-off. So, but I suppose you're right. It is a little bit of a line ball call.
Maybe. I think so. AD is my number one. I'll say that quickly. And I don't think the drop-off is going to be too drastic with LeBron, if anything, because he's still going to be putting up very similar rebounding numbers. It's not like the Lakers, you know, are flourishing in that department at the moment.
Yeah.
And there's guys in that team that score consistently 20 points a night. So Kyle Kuzma's one that scores over 20 points per night for the Lakers. I just can't see AD's production dropping off just because he's playing with LeBron. You could argue that he's playing with LeBron, he could get better.
I tell you what, I reckon you could have chosen some better examples than Kyle Kuzma to stand up for scoring.
Maybe, but like, no, I argue that it's a good example because it's Kyle Kuzma. Kyle Kuzma's not Anthony Davis.
It's
nowhere
true.
Near Anthony Davis.
Yeah,
Anthony Davis
point.
Is a guy that's going to have much more usage than Kyle Kuzma does.
They're
going to be playing the ball. I could argue that they're going to be playing the ball directly through Anthony Davis twin games. That'll probably almost be their primary offensive option if he goes to the Lakers. And then LeBron, it sort of gives him more of a freedom to, you know, stay back a little bit and play a more natural game for him.
As he ages
as
well.
Yeah, exactly.
It is a really good point. I mean, I can definitely see that happening. And look, it's not too much of an argument I'm going to, you know, really rib you for, because it is a really close call. And the more I look at it, I'm sort of flipping back and forth. So the only other thing I'd say is AD is a touch more injury prone than Giannis. And that's probably what would also factor into it for me.
For me, a little bit of a knock on Giannis. And like I said, I can't separate these two in the end. It's pretty much a tie for me. But Giannis is such an athletic player. Could it wear on his body eventually?
Maybe, yeah. He seems to be, you know, Mr. Elastic Man at the moment in terms of he's always healthy. He doesn't seem to have any issues with that. He looks fit as hell.
Yeah.
If we're going to start drawing these sort of comparisons between the two in terms of who's going to stay healthy, then surely we have to take away from that AD is more of a risk.
Yeah, I agree with that. I feel like we're just nitpicking, though, at like little things with both these players.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Look, Giannis hasn't missed many games over his career. The least that he has played was 75 games. So, yeah, it is a very telling stat right there. And AD, yeah, if looking at his stats right now, he hasn't had a season over 80 games. So, yeah, that's a concern. But at the same time, when AD is on the court, he's just doing nothing but putting up elite numbers.
Yeah. All right, let's read out our top 10 just to finish it off. If anyone has dynasty drafts coming up next season, it could be handy if you just want to have a little look over our notes as such. My top 10 was Kevin Durant, number 10, Kawhi Leonard, number 9, Ben Simmons, number 8, Luka Doncic got up to number 7, Joel Embiid, it's 6, and the top 5 look like this: James Harden at 5, Karl Anthony Towns at 4, Nikola Jokic at 3, Anthony Davis at 2, and Giannis as my number 1 pick. What was yours looking like, Jared?
So my top 10 was Luka Doncic at number 10, Karl Anthony Towns at number 9, Damian Lillard at number 8, Ben Simmons at number 7, Nikola Jokic at number 6, and my top 5 was Joel Embiid at number 5, James Harden at number 4, Kevin Durant at number 3, Giannis Antetokounmpo. I stuffed it up that time.
I like how you have a go at it. I didn't even try, to be honest. I was like, I'm not going to give this a go. But you
know, Antetokounmpo.
Very valiant from you, Jared. I love it.
And number 1 is Anthony Davis. So there we go. That was a fun segment to do.
Yeah, it was a fun segment to do. I enjoyed it. And I hope you guys did too. And look, if you did enjoy it, we'd highly appreciate it if you could like, follow, subscribe the show. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at the GM's office. And as always, if you could subscribe and rate the show on iTunes and Spotify, that's a big help to us and we really appreciate it. So thanks very much for listening, guys, and good luck with your teams for the rest of the week.